Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. We have hit Friday, and it's a big, big weekend. Big weekend. High school football coming up tonight. Milton at Sealands Grove tonight. Lewisburg at Warrior Run, and you'll hear it right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Danville playing at Chickalimmie tonight. Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort on the air beginning at 6:30 with kickoff set for 7. And then tomorrow, Penn State football, the Nittany Lions at Ohio State. At Beaver Stadium, 8 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show outside the Jordan Ticket Center in what should be a finely tuned crowd at Beaver Stadium. All right. In fact, the RVs are, the line for RVs right now is so long to get into the overnight RV lot, it is extending out to the highway to the exit. That's how long the line is on RVs right now on Park Avenue. They are hyped and they are ready for this one. It'll be fun. Looking forward to it very much. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Oh, what a great selection. Incredible selection, the best. And, of course, you have soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day. The pickle bar is second to none. You know I'm a fan of the barrel pickles. That's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now, including the Colts blowing out the Steelers late on Sunday afternoon.
I'm not listening.
Here's your problem. You're actually going to face a real quarterback.
I know that, and I'm greatly concerned.
Should be. Dude can play. Dude might be better than your dude. And your dude's really good.
Yeah. I'm not optimistic, but I'm not pessimistic just yet, because I really don't know what the offense will hold. Or if the offense will hold. Because sometimes that's the only way they're able to run the football. Get it?
Wow, you're a bitter guy. You're a bitter guy. See, I don't have a dog in the hunt. I can say whatever I want, but your bitterness comes through. I actually think that's going to be a good game. I think because Indianapolis' defense is okay, not great, but they're okay. Indianapolis is playing pretty well right now, too.
I just want to see some consistency in the offense, some consistency in the play calling. I don't know if the play calling is being changed at the line or if it's coming in from the sideline and that's what they're getting. There just doesn't seem to be any consistency with the offense.
Do you know what? Hey, you know what I'm a big believer in?
I feel this is going to be a lesson moment for me. Go ahead.
Execution. Hey, you've got to look at the people that are not executing whatever's called. Now, you can sit there, and I will tell you the play call where they throw it. When you're trying to impart to your players all the time, time and score, time and score, time and score. That's why you see, for example, late in the game, the other team has no timeouts, and a running back will cut it and keep the ball inbounds and keep the clock running. Right? That's a player with a concept of time and score. What Todd Haley did with 3.5 minutes to play against Houston and the Texans out of timeouts to throw a deep pass incomplete, okay, that's terrible time management, and that's a play call that needs to be discussed as to why are you doing that, right? Why? That is direct criticism of a play call. Other things, okay, there's too much put on play calling because people think they know play calling. The bottom line is execution. If you execute it, it's going to work. They're not executing. Okay? They're not executing. Hey, there's got to be a little bit more put on the people who actually have to do the doggone thing.
Well, and I agree with you to a point. And here's where...
Kevin!
Hear me out.
It's too easy for you to sit there and complain about the play caller when you don't know what they're calling.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is this. I'm taking
execute
it to the...
Execute it.
But here's what I'm saying. You call the plays you know you can execute. Are there no plays that this team can execute? I mean, don't you have a core-based play set of plays that you feel are plays you can execute? I honestly don't know where they what they are. Oh. Is it are they running plays? Are they shotgun plays? Are they pistol? Are they pistol formation? Are they pass plays? I don't know.
Tie game, third down to your own 30-yard line. 5 minutes to play. They have a 3-4 defense. What do you call? You got 40 seconds. Go ahead.
This is my question. What you have to have?
No, you're down to 36 seconds.
What are my five plays? What are my five plays in that situation?
Your offense. You're down to 30 seconds.
I'm gonna call a dive play off the right side if that's where I've gotten. If I feel that's what's been working all game.
And guess what? If it's not executed correctly, you're gonna look like a dope.
Exactly. I understand what you're saying, but you have to have five plays that you feel comfortable with in certain situations.
It's too easy. Okay, it's too easy for. Oh, they're not calling the right place. It's too easy. Okay. Because guess what? Okay. It's execution that means much more than the play call. Okay. The reason that the reverse play works with Brown then rolling to his left and throwing the touchdown pass.
He's left-handed.
It looks like a great play call because it worked.
I said it was designed well.
But it's a great play call. It worked. If it didn't work, you're like, oh, that's a terrible call. What are they running that play for?
No, I think it's a great play call because it's designed well. It's designed for a receiver who's left-handed. If he runs that like a reverse and then throws it out of it, he doesn't complete the pass. So that would be a poorly designed play. I think the play design had a lot to do with the success of the play as well.
And where they called it, when they called it, the whole thing.
I agree.
And they executed because he didn't throw it away. He didn't throw it into the ground. He didn't overthrow it. He didn't get tackled. He didn't get sacked on the play. They got a touchdown on the play, right? Because they executed it right. The execution of that play was brilliant. The way he took and with his quick feet pivoted and then took the flow completely opposite and then threw it. The execution of the play was brilliantly done by the Steelers and especially by Antonio Brown. Execution means so much as to what you do. It means a lot. Now, the play caller needs to take advantage of skill sets, and I think early on, Todd Haley had no concept at all as to how life played out for Ben Roethlisberger as opposed to how he called plays for Kurt Warner.
You're talking about last year.
I'm talking about his first year as the coordinator. He had no his sync with Ben Roethlisberger.
There wasn't
as
any.
A play caller as to what Roethlisberger's strengths happened to be did not match up, and that was square peg round hole stuff. Right, you learn lessons from stuff like that. Now, when he was a play caller for Kurt Warner, what Kurt Warner did matched how he called the game.
But see, usually by this part of the season, even an average fan can say, you know what, I feel comfortable with this team. I would feel comfortable if this team did this. These are the plays that I know they're really running real well right now. I don't know that the Steelers have those right now. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what kind of team this is. Is this a team that is based upon running four wide receivers and five wide receivers and let's throw high percentage passes? Is this a team that is, we've got two really good running backs, let's pound the ball? Because they're not doing anything consistently. Maybe it is execution, maybe it's play calling, maybe it's a combination of both.
Hey, if this makes you happy, fine, I'm all for it.
I
frankly don't care how he calls the game. I mean, Adam Gase, okay, doesn't get enough credit for the play calling he does for the Broncos.
That may be true.
But sure does help having 18 do it.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders was a Steeler one time, too.
Yeah, it's okay. He's
He's the new Eric Decker.
I wish he was that way when he was in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know what the difference is? Hey, okay. The difference is Manning.
Yeah.
Completely Manning. Okay, the difference is why is Eric Decker a below average, an average receiver right now with the Jets, where with the Broncos he was a big play guy.
Yeah, I can see your point there.
I can go a long line of guys where you're sitting back. Shockley, the wideout that the Ravens have, good possession guy with the Broncos. You know, it's like, wow, look what he can do, and he was with the Colts too, where he did some really good things. Why? Because he had Manning. Manning's accuracy, Manning's throwing the ball better now. Maybe the best he's ever thrown in his career now. It is a phenomenon that has been unbelievable to watch, to see how he handles things as the quarterback and how he has the ability to make people around him better. Emmanuel Sanders was a good receiver in Pittsburgh. Well, he caught 3 touchdown passes last night. He is the 8th different guy in Peyton Manning's career to catch 3 touchdowns in a game. And outside of Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, it's not a star-studded group. He makes other people around him better.
Did you see any of the Connecticut East Carolina game?
No, I did not.
Tell you what, that was a fun game to watch and a lot closer game than I suspected it would have been.
My understanding is when the game was over, East Carolina's coach went to Bob Diaco, who the former Notre Dame defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach at UConn, and he said he embraced him and told him, he says, "Man, you called a great game defensively. That was class." That's my understanding. He said that to him when it was over. Because East Carolina's quarterback, by the way, I like. I think he's really, really good. I watched him play twice earlier this year, including a game against Virginia Tech. He's a good player. Very good player. East Carolina's a good football team.
Yeah, that is a solid football team offensively. Maybe not as good defensively as they are offensively, though. But I mean, they're not bad overall is what I'm saying. Their offense may be a step or two ahead of their defense, but it's still a good football team.
I mean, they're going to go nowhere in this college football playoff thing, but they're very good. Which I know you don't like.
Yeah, see, I was waiting for that. I knew there was a setup. I knew that you hung the bait out there for me.
Well, and the reason I say that is it's not realistic. They're not one of the final four teams. I mean, it's a team you really don't want to play, but the bottom line is they don't play a lot of people either. I mean, that schedule's not a schedule that vaults you to the top 10.
No, that is true.
In fact, you put that schedule here at Penn State, the only complaints we're getting on our show right now.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Hey, you need to stock up for the weekend, and this is a doozy. You got Penn State, Ohio State tomorrow night. You got the Colts and the Steelers. Eagles are playing the Cardinals, which is actually a better game on paper. Hey, the Cardinals are 5-1. They're really, really good. Really good. Bruce, hey, Bruce, didn't he used to work for you guys, Bruce Arians?
Say that again?
Didn't Bruce Arians used to work for you guys?
Yeah. Yeah. I liked him, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the Colts. He was good with the Colts, too. All right. But back to Brewers Outlet.
Moving on.
I just said, let's get back to Brewers Outlet. Barrel pickles. Love them. Pickle bar, incredible. And, of course, they have their peanuts. They roast them hot, fresh, every day. And snacks, soft drinks. Mm. Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Corey, my man, you have a great place to go to. So stop by. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And again, another car turned in today.
Yeah, I had to turn in the 2015 Ford Fusion today. All 8 standard airbags, the 5-star safety rating, not to mention fun to drive. And an IIHS top safety pick. It broke my heart a little bit when I had to hand the keys in. And the Bronze Fire, which is the brand new color as well. So, yeah, that's available for you to pick up now. I would recommend it quickly, especially with the price at about $26.
Impressive all the way through. Also impressive, always dealing with Sunbury Motors. Staff takes tremendous care of you. And by the way, the service department, routine maintenance or otherwise, second to none. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, right near the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. All
you,
right.
You could tell the remorse I had in my voice from handing those in. That was a nice car. Fusion is a really, really nice car.
Yeah, sure. No, remorse is good. Great. what do you mean I got to give it up?
Is it Friday already?
So you guys are leaving, what, 3 in the morning to go to Georgetown?
I believe so. For it'll be an early call. 8:15, I believe, is the departure time from the U in Lewisburg.
All right. Kevin is bemoaning the play calling for the... It's the anti-Todd Haley show, where basically all of Kevin's sports woes go to one guy. By the way, in the world of free agency of managers, the jackpot is now out there for somebody who wants him.
Are you talking
about
Madden?
Yeah. Joe Madden, Hazleton's own Joe Madden. I consider to be one of the top 5 managers, you know, and again, I'll just use a broad range of top 5. I think he's one of the top 5 managers in baseball. This guy gets the most out of his talent. He is the kind of guy that can go into a game and he can manage his team and beat you, and if you flipped into the other dugout, he could take the other team and manage them and beat his team. I just think this guy is a high-quality, great motivator, excellent strategist, understands his personnel manager.
he will not be out of a job long. And this is his, he elected to opt out. He was not fired. Tampa Bay was trying to get him to a contract extension, but he decided to opt out. Whomever hires him hires somebody that is, a to me, a long-term solution. So, just, you know, file that one away. You know, maybe the Steelers can hire him and he could be the play caller.
I'm all for that.
Of course you are. I mean, I gave you 40 seconds to call a play. You didn't know what to call.
Well, there's a lot of things I would have thought about if I would have been in the moment of playing. Like, you know, first off, where's the ball? What side of the field is it on? What's the score? What have I run that's been successful?
Excuse me. I set all that up for you.
All right.
I set all of that up for you. I told you it was third down and three, your own 27, 5 minutes to play in a tie game.
Who am I playing?
Doesn't matter who you're playing.
Sure it
you
does.
You got to make a call.
No,
I told you,
it matters.
I told you it was a 4-3 defense and not a 3-4. I told you all that.
Well, am I playing the Texans? Because if I'm playing the Texans, I may not throw the ball as much there.
You're too busy hating to actually listen.
I mean, if I'm playing the Texans, I'm probably not going to take a chance and throw the ball there because I don't want to get that rush.
Third down and three, I'm throwing the ball.
If it's third down and three and I've been running the ball and averaging 4 yards a carry or 3.9 yards a carry, I'm going to run it.
Everything in football, really in any sport, it's about matchups. How can you exploit matchups? Some teams are far more difficult to exploit a matchup on because they have talent across the board that makes it more difficult to exploit a matchup. But that's why, for example, we talk about getting a running back on a linebacker. We talk about getting a tight end on a safety. Just, you know, maybe in terms of the ability to outrun them, they may not be able to outrun the safety, but they're going to be bigger than the safety. You know, good size safety, 6'1", 6'2", tight end could go 6'4", the 6'6". And you look at Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham's a tough matchup for people. Gronkowski's a tough matchup for people. All right, that's, you know, so you're trying to exploit matchups, and that's what you have to do as a play caller, where you look at success, but also what matchups are you trying to exploit? And then can they execute the matchup and exploit it? And the execution part is the part you have conveniently left out, saying it's all the play call's fault. Okay? It's not all the play call's fault. In some cases, it may be the fault, but you're giving the players too much of a pass.
Okay.
You're giving the players far too much of a free pass. The Steelers have 8-8 talent. Okay? This is not something that, I mean, for example, I said they were going to be an 8-8 team last year. I said they could be as low as 6-10. They could be, I said, if everything fell into place, maybe better than that. All right? But that's it. All right? That's where they are. They're an 8-8 football team. I think it's taken them a little while to build a couple things. Number one, it's taken them a little while in the draft to build an offensive line. I think their offensive line... Okay, I look at the offensive line, and I think they've done a good job of building it. They needed a tailback. They found one. They have not found an opposite receiver to Brown yet. Tight end plays okay. Defensively, they're long in the tooth in too many areas and did not solve the secondary problem in the draft. Shazier, I know he's been hurt, but it was an excellent pick, in my opinion. That is a football player who can run. And I think Jarvis Jones is another guy that I thought was a good pick. Right? So, but they're still not solid across the board. And you put a lot of pressure on your offense because your defense is giving up exponentially more than they gave up 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. So now you're trying – the Steelers right now are in a mode – where you feel like you go into a game with Indianapolis and you're asking yourself, can I outscore them? And you're not going into the game thinking you're going to shut Indianapolis down. We're going to shut down Andrew Luck. Really? Great. fabulous. And so when you went into the church, you got a sign that told you were going to do that? Right? Defensively, they're no better than okay.
And I don't actually, I think you're being kind there, Steve.
Well, I'm just saying, but they're no better than okay. They can have moments like they had the other night where the fumble was forced and Polamalu picked it up, the Kiesel interception. I mean, you have moments like that. I mean, when the defense stepped up and made big plays and set the offense up in tremendous position, they converted. Good complementary football. They have a fabulous punt return game because Brown's the punt returner. Brown's not just good, he's great. Yeah, wing is a punter's mediocre. I mean, he's no better than okay. He's no better than okay. And Sweezum's a good place kicker. I mean, he's not a Pro Bowl guy, but he's a good enough place kicker. Especially, he seems to kick pretty well in the conditions at Heinz Field.
Yeah, he's kicked really well at the open end.
Which is, you know, that's half the battle there. I mean, half the battle there is on the open end where a lot of people have struggled. He doesn't. So I give him a lot of credit for that. He's, you know.
I think this year was the year that first time I think he's missed one in the open end. I think this year was when that happened.
But they're an 8-8 football team, where if things fall right, they're 9-7. Things don't, they're 7-9. I think they still have two games with Cincinnati. Cincinnati's not playing well. They haven't had Green, but they're not playing well. Cincinnati's not playing well. That's why you're kind of wondering when the Patriots are going through with a deal like, hey, the Patriots are playing a lot better. And you're saying, well, yeah, the Cincinnati win doesn't look so great now. Cincinnati's not playing well. Baltimore is. They still have another game with Baltimore. This will be in Pittsburgh. Another game with Baltimore. Baltimore's playing really well. Cincinnati's not, and they still have two more games with them. And hitting Indianapolis is not exactly the prime thing to do. Can they win the game? Yeah, they're going to have to force luck into mistakes. And the Indianapolis defense is also in the maybe a little bit better than okay category. But you don't go into a game going, oh, man, I'll tell you, Indianapolis is going to shut us out. No, you really don't think too much about that.
The over-under, by the way, in the Steelers-Colts game is 49.
So they think the Colts are going to get 42.
That's what I was. It's plus three.
I'm just joking.
Right now, it's Indianapolis by three. I think that's a very low point spread. And by the way, Philly, Arizona, the over-under is 48, and it is Arizona -2.5.
Okay. You know how much I put stock in that.
Well, I know, but I'm saying when you know, you were looking at that being the game of the week, and I totally agree with you, Philadelphia and Arizona being the game of the week. It's really interesting. And when you look at the fact that it's going to be that the over-under is 48 and it's a 2.5-point differential.
Okay.
You don't find that interesting?
Not particularly. I mean, you have a road team that's the favorite and the home team's the favorite. What's the...
Well, I think the point is it's a really tight game. 2.5 is a tight point spread. But Foles is throwing the ball.
It's a really good game. That's why it's tight.
and Foles is throwing the ball all over the field. I mean, when you look at just the, like, Foles and McCoy, that's almost 2,100 yards offense there compared to Palmer and Ellington, which are the lead backs and obviously the quarterback. Where there's barely, you know, like 1,200 yards.
You know, Palmer's been out, right?
I know, but I'm just looking. He's the leading passer right now. That's what I was talking about.
Yes, he missed three.
But he
games.
Missed a few games. I know.
So I think his numbers would be less than Foles. Yes.
All right. Okay. All right. That's an excellent point. I was not thinking about the fact that that did not include three games. Oh, God, I hate doing a show with a man with a photographic memory. You forget absolutely nothing.
Well, that's isn't that the job on the show?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, I fail.
I didn't say you failed. I'm just saying there's two of us here, so you didn't remember and I remembered. There are things I forget, you remember.
All right. Well, how about if you take the offense as a whole then? The offense as a whole, Arizona's offense is the 21st ranked offense in the country, passing. Whereas overall, you're looking at the second best rushing defense.
You know what's odd about Arizona? They're 31st in pass defense.
30th, yeah. Yeah, and they're overall about 23rd in offense.
How?
And they're 5-1.
And they're, how are they possibly winning?
And they're 5-1. That's what I want to know. It's the rush defense that stopped. I mean, they've got a great running defense.
They were ripped off last year. I mean, they won 10 games last year and did not go to the playoffs. I mean, that's kind of a hard pill to swallow. When you win 10 and you don't go.
Well, that's part of the problem of coming out of the division they were last year.
No question. I mean, meanwhile, and the Steelers are like, hey, you know, if Kansas City doesn't line up wrong, we're in.
Okay, oh, great. Thanks. Thanks for opening that wound. That Band-Aid was just starting to do its job. And you just ripped it right off.
All right, let's take a break. Kevin needs a break. He has, you know, because we've only gone through 2.5 pages of a 10-page dossier on the I Hate Todd Haley bandwagon. We still have another 7.5 pages to go that Kevin has written down as part of his therapy on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Game's in Arizona, right?
The Philadelphia one? Yeah, that's in Arizona.
Yeah. Then why are you even worried about the forecast?
No. I was laughing at the forecast because they post a forecast here. Mild 85 with a wind of 7 miles an hour, and it's passing clouds. And my joke was, if it's passing clouds and Philadelphia's coming in, it's probably bad for a defense that's 30th against the pass. See, when you explain it, it's not as funny.
It's a dome.
It was a play on passing clouds. That's all it was.
But if you dome.
If you're playing the 30th ranked defense against the pass and you're 7th offensively passing the ball, I want the Eagles in this game and I'll give up the points.
I don't care about the points. I usually care about outright wins.
Well, but again, tell me, why is Arizona 5-1 with a defense that hasn't really done much stopping passing teams? Their offense isn't prolific.
Because they get to the lead, and when they get to the lead, teams, of course, throw the ball more against them.
Okay.
They also Arizona also does a brilliant job of playing field position football. They are outstanding at field position football. They usually have a shorter field offensively, the opponent usually is working with a long field. So you can garner a lot of yards, and all of a sudden you move it out, and you're like, okay, well, we didn't get anywhere because we had to kick the ball away. And Arizona's special teams are very good, especially the return game.
I'm just saying, I know everybody's building this up and building this as a great game. I just, you know, when you look at things from a numbers standpoint, it just doesn't look like that good of a game.
No, it's a good game because you have two teams with excellent records. The difference is Arizona, for example, right? Because they're the Arizona Cardinals, they are not in the national stream of consciousness.
I like how you're
just aren't.
That.
They aren't. Hey, people are not sitting there going, okay, what are the Arizona Cardinals doing? People know as much about the Arizona Cardinals outside of Larry Fitzgerald as they do about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's true. That's very true.
And when you sit there, people know. The Steelers are deeply ingrained in the national consciousness of sports. There are Steeler fans all over the map. Everywhere. That's why the Steelers, whenever they play a road game, the number of Steeler fans there is really high to the point where they'll go into certain stadiums and they own the stadium. They go to Tampa Bay, they own the stadium. They go to Miami, they own the stadium. Jacksonville, they own the stadium. I mean, everywhere you go, you know, they're, you know, not everywhere. They'll go to Cleveland, obviously they won't, or Cincinnati they won't. But they'll go to a lot of stadiums, especially south of here. You know, Carolina, and more Steeler fans down there. It's unbelievable because the Steelers have a national brand and they are an entity. Thus, knowledge of the Steelers is also very high on top of it. Arizona's not like that. They've been to one Super Bowl ever. For the most part, they have been no better than an also-ran filling out the schedule. And now they've become, actually, in the last 2 years, a very good football team, but not a lot of national exposure. How many times have we enjoyed the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday night? Oh, that's right. They're not on Sunday night football. Thursday night game. No, they're not in the Thursday night game either. They got a Monday night game early. That was the first weekend of the season because I remember I watched it in New York when I was doing the New York Penn League Championship Series. But I think they played on September 8th. Was that a Monday night?
I don't know. That's too many months ago for me. I'd have to look it up.
I think September 8th, it was a Monday night, and I think that was the night Arizona played. And it was the opening Monday of the season.
It was.
Thus, it was a doubleheader, and it was the second game of the doubleheader that started at 10 o'clock at night.
Hey, real quick, Steve, before the news, Lions-Falcons at 9:30 in London. Is this a test to see if fans will watch a game that early if there is a London team in the NFL?
Yes. Yes, there is.
That's what I thought.
Yes, there is. There has been a proposal, though, to play 17 games, have 8 games in London where there's not a London team, neutral games, and have that 17th game be the neutral game with everybody getting a bye week afterward. Some people have talked about that as a solution.